I always say to people that out of, I think it's about 300 songs that John and I wrote together, we never had a dry session. We'd always come in and we never went away from the session going, couldn't get it today. We always finished a song, which is pretty remarkable. I Lost My Little Girl. It's the first song I wrote. That was very simple, three chords, four chords. And yeah, it was real early, little kind of rock and roll thing. I got a guitar when I was early teens, and I learned a couple of chords. I learned a G and a G7, C and an F. And using those chords, I made up this little song called I Lost My Little Girl. People asked me whether it was about losing my mother at that early age, which I don't know. Psychiatrists might have a field day with that. But I certainly didn't think it was at the time. But it could have been.
Yesterday, all my troubles seemed so far.
I woke up and I had the melody to the song Yesterday in my brain. And I didn't have any words, so I called it Scrambled Eggs. Scrambled Eggs, oh my baby, how I love you. I think the difference between me and a lot of people is they often dream about music, but they don't remember it. But for some reason, this melody just kept going round and round my brain. So I was near a piano, so I kind of remembered it and blocked out some chords. A couple of months later, I put some words to it. Yesterday.
One, two, three, four.
When John Lennon and I were getting together, we were kind of showing each other what we'd written, and this was one I said to him, well, I got this idea. And I started off with it, and we finished it together. So it was a very early Lennon-McCartney song. Having a collaborator, one thing's great, if you get stuck with something, you can just say, what do you think of this? You know, and you can kick it around together. My song started, she was just 17. She'd never been a beauty queen. And we kind of looked at each other, like, I said, I don't really like that line. So we changed it to, she's just 17, you know what I mean. Which makes more sense, even though you probably don't know what I mean. So we changed it to that, and started our songwriting partnership. Most of it was start from scratch, but sometimes one of us would just have an idea, like of the first couple of lines, and then we'd just sit down and work it. But a lot of it, we just came in and just started talking about what we might want to write about, and then we just sit down. They were pretty quick sessions. It was normally like about 3 hours, and we'd finish something, you know, from beginning to end, with the chords and the melody and the words.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Do you ever forget a lot of the songs that you've written when you hear them?
I mean, 300 was just the ones I wrote with John. Since then, I've written lots more. And you do forget them, yeah. And that is my excuse.
And if you saw my love...
And I Love Her, I brought it. I'd written it, and I brought it into the studio, and I was showing the guys. George Martin, our producer, said, it'd be nice to have an intro on it. You know, like to have a little something leading the song in. So we were sitting around thinking, and George Harrison just went, what about this? Do-do-do-do. And I think, you know, that song wouldn't be anything without that. We just came up with it. So that was the kind of pace we worked at. Because nobody ever knew what song we were about to record. Then it'd be me and John would know, because we had written it the previous week. But George and Ringo and the producer wouldn't know what we were. So we'd say, oh, it goes like this, you know, and we'd show them. And in the space of about 20 minutes, they'd go, okay. And then we'd just record it. So it was a very fast process. And that was a very cool move. You know, you just made up that riff. And I say, if you think about the song, without that riff, wouldn't be half as good. And then Rigby was, when I was really little, I lived on what we call a housing estate, which is like a project. There were a lot of old ladies, and I enjoyed sitting around with these older ladies, because they had these great stories, in this case, about World War II, you know. And one in particular, who I used to kind of just visit, and I'd kind of go shopping for her, you know, she couldn't get out. So anyway, so I remember her. So I had that figure in my mind of a sort of lonely old lady. And over the years, I'd met a couple of others. And I don't know, maybe their loneliness made me sort of empathize with them. But I thought it was a great character. So I started this song about a lonely old lady who picks up the rice in the church, who never really gets the dreams in her life. And then I added in the priest, the vicar, Father Mackenzie. And so there was just the two characters, you know. So it was nice. It was like writing a short story. But it was based basically on these old ladies that I had known as a kid. Father Mackenzie, in the song, I originally had Father McCartney. But when I came to finish it up with John, I brought it to John, and we were playing it around, and I said, I don't want to call this Father McCartney, because it's like my dad. It just is a bit confusing. And he said, no, it's fine. So I said, no, I don't like it. So I said, okay, let's change it. So we got the phone book, and we just went right down to sort of McCartney, and looked for something, something. And the next one was like Mackenzie. I said, that's better. So he became Father Mackenzie. Sometimes I do that, you know, just to block it out. So you don't spend forever trying to figure out the exact lyric. You just go, ba-da-da-da-da. So it could be Barbara Hawkins, Miss Daisy. And you just leave it for like that. And then you go, I don't really like that. So I was looking around for another name. There's a kind of strange story about that, because I like the name Eleanor. We've been working with an actress called Eleanor Braun in the Beatles film Help. So I like the name Eleanor. But I was looking for this Eleanor Papa to make the rhythm. So I was looking for this nice surname. And I happened to be in Bristol. And I saw a shop that said Rigby. So I thought, oh, great, Eleanor Rigby. So now I had the name of my main character. But then years later, somebody else is researching this, and they said, you know, in that village where John used to live, there's a graveyard in the church, and there is a gravestone there to an Eleanor Rigby. So I said, did I subconsciously know that name? Why would I go around searching for it? I don't know. I think it's maybe a coincidence, but there is a gravestone in Liverpool place called Woolton, where me and John met, that does say Eleanor Rigby. Day in the Life was a song that John had started, and he kind of had the first verse. And this often happened. One of us would have a little bit of an idea, and instead of sitting down and sweating it, we'd just bring it to the other one. And kind of finish it together, because you could ping pong, you know, you get an idea, then he get an idea, and oh, that's good, you know. And so I say he had the first verse. I read the news today, oh boy, and we sat in my music room in London and just started playing around with it, got a second verse, and then we got to what was going to lead into the middle, and we kind of looked at each other and kind of knew we were being a little bit kind of edgy, and we sort of said, I'd love to turn you on. So we kind of knew, like, this would have an effect. It worked. And then we put another section I had, woke up, fell out of bed, tried to comb across my head. So I had that section, so we put that in, and then finished the song up, and then did a big sort of epic recording of it with a big full orchestra and everything, you know, and then did that crescendo thing in the middle of it with the orchestra, which was an idea I'd had because I'd been talking to people and reading about sort of avant-garde music, kind of atonal stuff, crazy ideas. And I came up with this idea. I said to the orchestra, you should start, all of you, which they're all looking at me puzzled. We've got a real symphony orchestra in London who are used to playing, you know, Beethoven. And here's me, so this crazy guy out of a group. And I'm saying, all you got to do is everyone start on the lowest note that your instrument could play and work your way up to the highest at your own pace. Just if you want to go, that's fine. Or, you know, that was too puzzling for them. And they're all looking at me. And orchestras don't like that kind of thing. They like it written down, and they like to know exactly what they're supposed to do. So George Martin, the producer, realized that. He kept the random aspect, but he said to the people, you should be about this note at this point in the song, and then you should have got to this note and this note. And he left the random thing. So that's why it sounds like a chaotic sort of swirl, you know. Yeah, no, that was an idea based on the sort of avant-garde stuff that I was into at the time.
Hey Jude, don't make it back.
John and his wife Cynthia had divorced, and I felt a bit sorry for their son, who was now a little bit, you know, a child of a divorce. I was driving out to see the son and Cynthia one day, and I was thinking about the boy whose name is Julian then, and I started this idea, hey Jules, don't make it bad, it's going to be okay. You know, it was like a reassurance song. So that was the idea that I got driving out to see them. I saw them, and then I came back and worked on the song some more. But I liked the name Jude. I didn't realize it meant Jewish, which it does. Actually, I nearly got into trouble because we put it up on a window of our shop. We had a little shop because we were into fashion, would you believe, for a while. On the shop window we put, hey Jude, so that people going by on the buses would see, what's that, you know, intriguing, ah, and then it was our record. Well, I got this furious phone call from this guy, Mr. Leon, who was Jewish, and he said, what are you doing, how dare you do this, and so on. Hey Jude, because in Hitler's day, in the Nazi thing, Juden raus meant Jews out. So, and I didn't connect. I actually heard the name first in one of the musicals, but I liked the name. Anyway, he rings me up and he's furious. Why are you doing this? You know, making fun of the Jews. We got enough. I said, no, wait a minute. I swear to you, it's nothing like that. He said, I'm going to send my son around to beat you up. I said, hey, baby, let's cool it down. Nothing to do with that. I said, you'll hear when you hear the record. It's just a name in a song, and it's all cool. But, of course, I suddenly was alerted to the fact that it would have caused him a lot of problems because his family will have experienced that, you know, firsthand probably. Anyway, I calmed him down, and he was cool. And his son didn't come around to beat me up. Whenever I do a new tour, I think, well, I'll just switch up all the songs. But then I go, I've got to do Hey Jude, because it is such fun. And it's great handing that over to the audience, you know. And you know what the greatest thing is? You feel this sense of community. And in these times when it's a little dark and people are sort of separated, by politics and stuff. It's so fantastic just to see them all come together singing the end of Hey Jude. So I'm very happy about that. So I keep it in the show. Helter Skelter, yeah, I heard it on the car radio the other day. I did think, wow, you know, it is. I could see why people would think it was the precursor of heavy metal. How it came about was I had read in a music paper that The Who had done a really heavy track, and Pete Townshend of The Who was quoted saying, we've just made the dirtiest, loudest, filthiest song ever. So I was kind of jealous. I didn't hear their song. I still don't know what song he was referring to. But I went in the studio and said, guys, we've got to do a song that's dirtier and filthier and louder than The Who. Yeah, the thing about the Beatles stuff was that when I look back on what we produced, there's no two songs that are alike. Whereas, you know, a lot of record artists will find a great formula and the next three singles are kind of the same song, you know. But we were young guys and we would have got bored doing that. And the worst thing ever, seeing as we're allowed in the studio, allowed to play guitars and things, the worst thing ever would have been just to sit around bored. So we always changed whatever we were about to do and did something different. So I had this Helter Skelter thing, and we did that. And yeah, it is pretty raw, you know, it's pretty screamy. But it was good to do. We did a lot of takes on it, so it was hard on Ringo. You know, on one of the takes, you can hear him right at the end, he says, I've got blisters on my fingers. He'd been drumming so hard and so loud, you know, that... But yeah, I wonder whether, you know, heavy metal bands heard that and thought, that's the way to go. Like, you know, loud rock and roll, basically. And I know the AC/DC guys, and they're loud. Have you seen them live? Oh, baby. That's one of the joys being in a band, is you get to plug in an electric guitar and turn it up just as loud as you want. And it's such a sort of cool feeling that I could see why you'd form a group based around that idea.
Blackbird singing in the dead of night.
Blackbird, I was sitting around with my acoustic guitar and I'd heard about the civil rights troubles that were happening in the 60s in Alabama, Mississippi, Little Rock in particular. So that was in my mind and I just thought it'd be really good if I could write something that if it ever reached any of the people going through those problems, it might kind of give them a little bit of hope. So I wrote Blackbird. And in England, a bird is a girl. So I was thinking of a black girl going through this, you know, now's your time to arise, you know, set yourself free and take these broken wings. One of the nice things about music is that you know that a lot of people listening to you are going to take seriously what you're saying in the song. So I'm very proud of the fact that the Beatles' output is always really pretty positive. And there's hardly anything in there that sort of says, go and screw your parents or whatever. You know, it's always pretty, Let It Be, Hey Jude, Blackbird. So it's hopefully a good message. I particularly like that. And sometimes when I'm writing songs, I will think there's people out there who are going through some problems. And hopefully people out there will listen to it and think, oh, yeah, it's not just me alone going through this. You know, this is something and also something I can fix.
Let it be, let it be.
Yeah, that was another dream song, actually. I'd been overdoing it. You know, it was the 60s, and we were just getting crazed and stuff a lot of the time. And so I went to bed, and
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And wasn't feeling too great inside myself. And in the dream, my mother came to me in the dream, and she died maybe 10 years previously. And so when someone who you've lost comes back to you in a dream, it's a miraculous moment, you know, because you're with them. And your mind doesn't say, wait a minute, you shouldn't be here. You're just with them. And so it was really nice, you know, because there's my mom, and oh, mom, you know, very emotional. And she seemed to realize, this is all going on in my mind, of course, but, you know, forget that. She seemed to realize that I was going through struggles. And she said, it's going to be okay. It's all really going to be okay. And she said, just let it be. And I went, and felt great, and woke up and thought, what was that? What? And I remembered the dream. I thought, what did she say? Let it be. And then I sat down at the piano and wrote the song. It had a lot of emotion because of who'd said it and my situation. So that kind of translated to the record. And I think that's why a lot of people like it. They feel somehow that kind of magic comes through.
Why the piano? Why not a guitar?
I don't know. You know, just sometimes you just sit down at a piano and sometimes there isn't a piano, so you play the guitar. It's not like a formula. It's just what you fancy at the time. And that particular song, there was a piano in my room, so I just sort of wrote it on the piano. And it still is a piano song when I do it live. It's a piano song. Those times after the 60s were pretty high. And, you know, a lot of people were getting high. So to me, it's just like a fantasy song, sort of say, hey girl, come on, let's get high. And now I must admit, it can get a little bit embarrassing because I've got grandkids. And here's me going, yeah, everybody get high. So when we do it in live, I kind of go, let's get high on life. A little bit of a disclaimer there, you know. But at the time, it was just about the times and multicolored band, and it's very much a period piece, but it goes down well. And one of my guys sort of rang me up and said, hey, you know, this, we've got a problem. What? Oh, the BBC have just banned Hi-Hi-Hi, they won't play it. Why not? Well, it's drug related, and they're pretty straight-laced, you know. One of my two banned records, I can see why.
And if I said, I read.
After John died, there'd been a lot of talk about who did what and who liked who and did the Beatles argue and. I was almost buying into this idea that me and John were sort of fighting all the time. But I just remembered it wasn't true. So I wrote this song about, you know, if you were here, you might say this or that, but I know better. I know, I remember well some of the things we did. Yeah, it was really for me thinking about John and just thinking, you know what, we had a great relationship. And like any family, there's always arguments, there's always disputes, but in the end, you know, we loved each other. And I wanted to make a song where I actually said I love you to John. And so that was that song. Again, it's quite emotional. you know, because it came from a real feeling about him, and wanting to correct the record, kind of in my mind, as much as in anyone else's mind. And there are some photos from that period, which are really beautiful. And there's just him and me working, and you can see we loved each other. So, but you know, once all these rumors go about, you almost buy into them yourself. Anyway, so that song kind of helped me set the record straight. I was in a songwriting mood, and it was up in Scotland. I just thought, okay, I just gotta go somewhere and try and write a song. And we happened to have a little pony that was called Jet on the farm. I was on a farm in Scotland. And I actually took my guitar and hiked up this great big hill. I just kind of found myself a place which is in the middle of nature, and just sat there and just started making up a song, you know. It's not one of those songs that I, even when I sing it now, I don't kind of know where all the words came from. I know where Jet came from, and I like the name. The words are probably about me and my father-in-law, you know, early days of getting married, and when your father-in-law is kind of a nuisance, and you kind of, hey. So he's probably the major in it, but, you know, it's only a song, so you kind of work your things out. That one was written halfway up a mountain in Scotland. Then recorded in Nigeria, yeah. I was wondering where to record, and I fancied getting out of England. So I asked my record label, which is EMI, to supply me with a list of all the studios they had around the world. I knew they had a lot. And one was in China, one was in Rio de Janeiro, and one was in Lagos, Nigeria. So I went, yeah, Lagos, come on. Because I like African music a lot. I love the rhythms of African music. And so I chose that, not realizing that it would be a really basic little studio. And we kind of built half the studio. They didn't have a vocal booth. You know, you go in a booth to isolate your voice. They didn't have one. So we had to explain to them, you take some wood, and you do this, and you get some glass, and you put it in like that. So we built the vocal booths. But it was kind of nice. I liked the primitive aspect of it. And being in Africa was pretty interesting experience. If you've got 3 hours, I'll tell you about it. I Don't Know is the one that opens the album, and it's much more angst-ridden. And again, you know, you sit down to write a song and you think, oh, I'm not going to write anything that's like too sad or desperate. People are going to think I'm desperate. But you go, no, people like that. I like that. So I'm going to write something. You can often take a moment you remember where you had, like, let's say, an argument, and you think of that situation, and you work it out in the song. So just by saying the opening lines, I've got crows at my window, dogs at my door, I don't think I can take any more, that makes you feel better. And you suddenly, oh, it's a song. And you're crafting it into a vehicle that kind of puts all those thoughts in there, all your kind of troubles and woes. So you kind of work your things out. And songs, one of the great things about writing songs, it's almost like a therapy. You can go in kind of angry or sad, and you put all of that in the song. And it kind of makes the song better because it's real feelings in it. And when you finish the song, you feel a lot better.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.